ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 6, Text 13, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tam, Tvam, Vayam, Nata, Samujjihanam, Saroja, Nabha Ati Chira Ipsita Artham Drashtava Gataha Nirvritam Adya Sarve Gajaha Dava Artaha Iva Gangam Ambha Tang Twang Vayang Nata Samujjihanam Saroja Nabhati Chiripsitartham Drishtva gata nivritta madhya sarve Gajadavarta eva gangam ambha Tang tvam vayam nata samujjihanam Saroja Nabhati Chirepsitartham Drishtva Gata Nivritam Adya Sarve Gajadavarta Iva Gangam Ambha Tang Twam Vayam Nata Samujjihanam Saroja Nabhati Chirepsitartham Drishtva Gata Nirvritam Adya Sarve Gajada sarta eva gangam ambha
Tang
tvam vayam nata samujjihanam
Saroja nabhati
chirepsitartam Drishtva gata nivritta madhya sarve Gajadavarta eva gangam ambha
Tang tvam vayam nata samujjihanam
Saroja Nabhati Chirepsitartham
Drishtva Gata Nirvritam Adya Sarve
Trishtvagvara Nivritta Madhya Sarve. Gajadavarta Iva Ganga Mambaha. Ladies, Tang Twang Vayam Nata Samujihanam. Sarojana Bhati Chirep Siddhartham. Trishtvagata Nivritta Madhya Sarve. Gajadavarta Iva Ganga Mambaha. Tang Twam Vayam Bhata Samujitanam. Sarojana Bhati Chirepsitatam. Drishtvagata Nivritta Madhya Sarve. Gata Davarta Iva Ganga Mambaha. Tang Twang Vayam Nata Samujihanam. Sarojana Bhati Chirep Siddhartham. Dushtvagata Nivritta Madhya Sarve. Gajadavarta Iva Ganga Mambaha. Tam, O Lord, Tvam, Your Lordship, Vayam, all of us, Natha, O Master, Samujihanam, now appearing before us with all glories, Sarojanabha, O Lord, whose navel resembles a lotus flower, or from whose navel grows a lotus flower. Atichira, for an extremely long time. Ipsita, desiring. Artham, for the ultimate goal of life. Drishtva, seeing. Gataha, in our vision. Nirvritam, transcendental happiness. Adya, today. Sarve, all of us. Gajaha, elephants. Dava, artaha, being afflicted in a forest fire. Iva, like. Gangam, ambaha, with water from the Ganges. Elephants afflicted by a forest fire become very happy when they get water from the Ganges. Similarly, O my Lord, from whose navel grows a lotus flower, since you have now appeared before us, we have become transcendentally happy. By seeing your Lordship, whom we have desired to see for a very long time, we have achieved our ultimate goal in life. Purport. The devotees of the Lord are always very eager to see the Supreme Lord face to face, but they do not demand that the Lord come before them. For a pure devotee considers such a demand to be contrary to devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches this lesson in his Shikshashtaka. Adarshanan marmahatan karotu va. The devotee is always eager to see the Lord face to face, but if he is broken-hearted because he cannot see the Lord, even life after life, he will never command the Lord to appear. This is a sign of pure devotion. Therefore, in this verse, we find the word atichira ipsita artham, meaning that the devotee aspires for a long, long time to see the Lord. If the Lord, by his own pleasure, appears before the devotee feels extremely happy, as Dhruva Maharaj felt when he personally saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord, he had no desire to ask the Lord for any benediction. Indeed, simply by seeing the Lord, Dhruva Maharaj felt so satisfied that he did not want to ask the Lord for any benediction. Swamin kritarthosmi varangayache. A pure devotee, whether able or unable to see the Lord, always engages in the Lord's devotional service, always hoping that at some time the Lord may be pleased to appear before him so that he can see the Lord face to face. Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama shreshtam manamapi shachiputram atra swarupam rupam tasya gajamurapurim maturim gushtavatim Radha kundam girivaramaho radhika matava sham prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tandatosmi. Vandeham shri guru shri atav padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagarna raghunatanvitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivashakan Vitamsha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. When reading this verse, we might become a little confused, because the demigods state here to the Supreme Lord that they have desired to see him for a very long time and they're happy to see him. Now, delighted to see him. But we know that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that one should not desire to see the Lord, but should act in a such in a way that the Lord is pleased to see him. Well, it doesn't mean that we don't desire to see the Lord. Or that I don't want to see Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj, when Krishna came before him, he said, no, I don't want to see. He doesn't say he's very happy to see him. The point Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is stressing is that in an immature stage, we should not think that we're qualified to see Krishna. We have to serve him, sevon mukhe hi jivado swayam eva spurati ada, and then he will be pleased to reveal himself to us. Srila Prabhupada gives the example here of Dhruva Maharaj, who in the beginning wasn't particularly interested in seeing the Lord. He just wanted to get something from him. You all know the narration very well. I'm going to tell it now, the narration of how Dhruva Maharaj came to see the Lord. I'm going to tell it in a somewhat different way than we're used to hearing it. I'm just going to read from what Srila Prabhupada said, which is recorded in the book On the Way to Krishna, which is redacted from Most of those small books that were published were taken from lectures of Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada, he's telling this to newcomers who probably never heard of Dhruva Maharaj before. So Srila Prabhupada said, there is a story of a little boy, about 5 years old, named Dhruva, who belonged to a royal family. In the course of time, his father, the king, tired of his mother and deposed her as his queen. He then took another woman as queen, and she became stepmother to the boy. She was very envious of him, and one day as Dhruva was sitting on the father's knee, she insulted him. "Oh, you cannot sit on the lap of your father," she said, "because you are not born of me." She dragged Dhruva from his father's lap. We have Prabhupada's giving some different details here. She dragged Dhruva from the father's lap, and the boy became very angry. He was the son of a kshatriya, and kshatriyas are notorious for their quick tempers. Dhruva took this to be a great insult, and he went to his mother, who had been deposed. We also don't find that in the Bhagavatam exactly, that she'd been deposed. "Dear mother," he said, "my stepmother has insulted me by dragging me from my father's lap." "Dear son," the mother replied, "what can I do? I am helpless, and your father no longer cares for me." "Well, how can I take revenge?" the boy asked. Again, we don't find in the Bhagavatam mention of revenge exactly. "My dear boy, you are helpless. Only if God helps you can you take revenge." "Oh, where is God?" Dhruva asked enthusiastically. "I understand so many sages go to the jungle and forest to see God," the mother replied. "They undergo great penances and austerities in order to find God there." At once, Dhruva went to the forest and began asking the tiger and the elephant, "Oh, are you God? Are you God?" In this way, he was questioning all the animals. Seeing that Dhruva was very much inquisitive, Sri Krishna sent Narada Muni to see about the situation. Narad quickly went to the forest and found Dhruva. "My dear boy," Narada said, "you belong to the royal family. You cannot suffer all this penance and austerity. Please return to your home. Your mother and father are very much anxious for you." "Please don't try to divert me in that way," the boy said. "If you know something about God," he's saying to Narad Muni, "if you know something about God, or if you know how I can see God, please tell me. Otherwise, go away and don't disturb me." When Narad saw that Dhruva was so determined, he initiated him as a disciple and gave him the mantra, "Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya." Dhruva chanted this mantra and became perfect, and God came before him. So that's some pratyaksha. What's that called? The vision of highly advanced souls? Vaidushi pratyaksha. Srila Prabhupada is seeing these pastimes and relating them to us. I was just saying the other day that Prabhupada, he gave these, he saw the pastimes, he told the artist devotees, and they manifested his vision of Krishna on canvas for the whole world. And Dhruva Maharaj is mentioned here as someone who saw the Lord. He was also like the demigods, wanting something material from the Supreme Lord. And he got to see the Supreme Lord, but unlike the demigods, he became a great pure devotee of Krishna. Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad, they're examples of very young boys who at such an age you'd expect them to play. That's what Narad said, we know from the Bhagavatam. You should be playing, not going for austerities. But they became very high authorities. No one would expect young boys of that age to be an authority on anything. They're only at an age where they're fit to learn. Because age brings experience and knowledge. There's that Srila Prabhupada quoted in one purport, Vridhatvam Vaya Samvina, to be old without being old. Which means that if one is highly learned and experienced, then he's like a wise person, even in his youth. But generally young people are impatient, and they just want things quickly, and they want easy answers. What's the, just like you see these talk shows on TV, and they're discussing very deep topics, but you can only speak for about 10 seconds at a time. And how can you discuss anything of any import like that? They were instant results, impetuous. Srila Prabhupada was an example of not someone who is young but old. That saying, Vridhatvam Vaya Samvina, that someone may be wise when they're young. But Srila Prabhupada is an example of an old person who is young, because he wasn't old, physically his body appeared to be old, but he was ageless and beyond time. The soul doesn't get old, and Srila Prabhupada was completely on the spiritual platform. And devotees, they took him to be like one of him. He appeared to be in many ways. He'd go and do kirtan for hours and play the madanga. He'd walk very fast, faster than his young disciples could do. And also, generally old people, they're set in their ways. They don't do anything new. They're content with their life the way it is. But Srila Prabhupada, we expect, if anyone's going to be bold and daring, it'll be young people. They're prepared to take risks and try something new. But Srila Prabhupada, in his quote-unquote old age, ventured off alone to America, and in spreading Krishna consciousness there, he also showed willingness to try different things out and experiment. And in this way, he showed that he's not, it was seen, not that he was trying to show, but it was seen that he was eternally youthful. So he was physically old, but, physically old, and we can say spiritually old also, because there's, on the level of the spirit, there's no time, so you could say very old and very young also. Adyang Purushang Navayovanam Cha. He's the original, Krishna is the original person, and he's always a fresh youth. So Krishna has the stability and wisdom and of an old person, and the playfulness and freshness of a young person. And that is seen in Srila Prabhupada. And it's a very good combination, because often we see that young people are enthusiastic to do things, but they're not very sober, or they're not very stable. They get fed up easily. They need to. Therefore, in society, the society is set up like that, that the older people guide the younger people. Because they've been through, in this lifetime, they've been through youth, and they know by their mistakes what they shouldn't do, but the older people have the knowledge and the younger people have the energy. So one should guide the other. Srila Prabhupada also gave that example of the Andha Pangunyai in relation to India and America. India is a very, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also wrote in a similar way that India is a very old civilization, and he was comparing to the British, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In comparison with us, they're very young and new, and they have a lot of energy, but they should be guided by India then they can do very nicely. Otherwise, the young people, if they're guided well by the older people, who themselves have been guided by older people, to them, then they won't tend to make the same kind of mistakes. They have to act under the authority of the older people who can direct them properly so they don't make the same kind of mistakes. So it's expected that older people are wise. That is in a spiritually oriented culture in which people know that life is not meant for simply for sense enjoyment. That if we think that life is meant for simply for sense enjoyment, it means acting on the platform of a foolish child who has no higher knowledge. And therefore we see in what's going on nowadays, we see in Bangalore, maybe you've seen, who's going there sometimes, there's advertisements for some homeopathic treatment for diabetes. And it shows an old man with an ice cream looking like this, like he's just very enthusiastic to eat an ice cream, just slurping an ice cream with his tongue out. But in old age, you shouldn't be sense enjoyment. But they're trying to show that by taking their treatment, you can become like a young man and enjoy in the same way. But an old man, he shouldn't desire to. In youth, it might be expected that someone wants to enjoy this world or enjoy their senses when the senses are very strong, but that in old age, one should have at least seen that. I've been through all of that. There's no need for that. Whatever is done, and now I have to concentrate, prepare myself for death. But in the childish civilization, we used to hear, I don't know if they do it anymore, but we used to hear that this sometimes devotees discussed with Srila Prabhupada, that old men whose sexual prowess is exhausted, they have monkeys' testicles affixed to their body. And it probably didn't work, otherwise there wouldn't be any monkeys left. But that was tried out. It's madness. But Dhruv Maharaj, he's an example of someone who, how was that? By good fortune, you could say, that he desired something material and he got the best spiritual advancement possible. Swamin kritarate varang nayache. Srila Prabhupada often quoted that he, Dhruva, he wanted something material, but when he actually got the darshan of the Supreme Lord, then he thought, I was trying to get some glass pebbles, but now I got a priceless jewel. In other words, what he wanted was something more than a kingdom, greater than that of even Lord Brahma, which is it's almost you could say it's a childish wish, because how can you get something more than Lord Brahma? Well, that's only possible if you come to the spiritual platform. So actually, he got the planet of the Supreme Lord to administer. Then he felt that I wanted something material, which is just worthless. Materially, his material desire was for something fabulous. But the highest aspiration, Dhruv Maharaj, the highest material aspiration, Dhruv Maharaj realized, it's simply meaningless in relation to the great jewel of Krishna consciousness. So the young people, they can be trained in this. That yesterday I finished the talk with that quotation from Prahlad. Sri Prahladu Vacha, Kaumara Acharet Pragyod Dharman Bhagavataniha, Durlabam Manusham Janma Tadapya Dhruvam Ardhadam. Prahlad says that human life is Adhruvam. Nothing to do with Dhruv Maharaj in particular. It's unfixed. Dhruva is fixed in his position. Now he's fixed in his position. The whole universe rotates around him. Actually, it's rotating around Vishnu, but he's there. So human life is not fixed. It's short, it's rare, but it's very valuable because one can attain Krishna consciousness. Therefore, from the very beginning, one should endeavor for this. So growing old, those who take spiritual knowledge from the beginning of life, they are more advanced. Then they may be more advanced than so many older people because they're coming to the right point. And then who is young, who is old? Those at a young age who take to Krishna consciousness, it's understood that in a previous life they must have been practicing also. So the young boy who you're teaching, he may have been already so advanced previously, but not perfect, otherwise why'd he come back? So one shouldn't be proud. We see Dhruv Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj became great authorities at such a young age, but they didn't become proud of that and thinking that now I'm a great devotee. That's another trap on the way, that we may become proud. It's a danger in devotional service, especially if one does some outstanding service and is noted for that. I just got an email from a disciple who's done outstanding service in book distribution, but he's feeling, I'm becoming proud. What do I do? Well, just don't be proud, that's all. There's nothing really to be proud about. If one thinks, I am the doer, then he becomes proud. We can remember great devotees like Prahlad and Dhruva. We can hardly aspire to be fit to put the dust of their lotus feet on our heads. They're such exalted devotees. But we don't see in their character any tinge of pride. It was there in Dhruva before he received the mercy of Narad Muni. His pride was wounded. He thought, I'm being insulted. But then later, as he, by the mercy of Narad, came to the platform of pure devotion, then there's no, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvari gunais tatra samasate suraha. The pure devotees, they're decorated with all qualities. Those who have nothing, akinchana, those who have nothing to, who desire nothing in this world than to serve Krishna, they have all good qualities, which means they don't become proud. So if we feel that we're becoming proud, well, it's good that we can see that, but we should know that we're not akinchana. We have some desire for some kind of material enjoyment or recognition. Remember, we're very small. We may be doing such big service, but we should always remember, I'm not doing. Somehow or other, Krishna is working through me. Now, it may be that, this devotee is distributing so many books, phenomenal book distribution. Generally, we think that, of course, not that is empowerment by Krishna, Generally, we think it must be a very advanced devotee. Yes, it's Krishna's mercy if one can distribute so many books. But it's not necessarily that even someone who distributes many books is completely pure in doing so. And factually, we see, we don't want to criticize anyone, especially devotees who perform such outstanding service, but we have seen devotees who have done phenomenal book distribution. But later it was seen that they still had problems in their spiritual life. So we shouldn't think that I'm doing such great service, I'm so advanced, or any such thing, because pride comes before a fall. It's an English thing from the land of the Mlechas, but even they can see. Of course, this is not totally devoid of any spiritual culture. There was religious culture in the Western world also, but we should know it's very, very dangerous to harbor such anartas, unwanted things within our hearts. We really have to work on expunging that, which means, what can we do? It may be very difficult to remove the anartas in our hearts, but we have to stick to the process, hearing, chanting, going on with our service. Very useful if someone feels that they're becoming proud like that, then don't just do book distribution, do some humble service also. Because book distribution requires us to be humble anyway, but we can serve the devotees, serve them prasadam, wash their plates after they take prasadam, like this. You can do. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was known as a very arrogant scholar. He was such a good scholar in his youth. Yeah, he was known to be very arrogant, in as much as he would, just walking on the street, he would challenge people for debates and make a fool of them and show himself to be so much more intelligent. But then he would also go to the Ganga and serve the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas and help them, assist them in taking their bath at the Ganga. So he showed different sides to his personality. Of course, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the point is that it's not necessarily that one who does big service is a big devotee. It may be they're dovetailing, they're some material propensity, or it may be that Krishna has somehow engaged them in that way for some reason that Krishna knows, maybe to test them. And of course, it doesn't mean that those who perform outstanding service, I'm not saying that they're all materially contaminated, not at all. But one shouldn't, the point here is that even if one performs outstanding service, he himself shouldn't think that I must be so advanced by doing this. Because if we think like that, immediately, if one thinks I'm very advanced or I'm very special, then Krishna doesn't like that. Krishna doesn't like pride in his devotees. Always remember, there's this, I remember Sridhar Maharaj used to quote Stephen Covey's, there's one of his sayings. You probably never heard of Stephen Covey. Anyway, doesn't matter if you didn't. So one of his sayings, start with the goal in mind. So as we're prosecuting Krishna consciousness, we can remember, as is stated here in this verse, ultimately we do want to see Krishna, not for the sake of enjoying ourselves, but we want to, as Srila Prabhupada always promised, we want to go to Krishna, live with Krishna, dance with Krishna, play with Krishna, and steal Krishna's laddus from his lunchbox. Srila Prabhupada once said that. My only desire is to steal Krishna's laddus from his lunchbox. So we can assist Prabhupada. Maybe When Krishna comes to search him, he can give us the laddus, and then maybe Madhumanga will steal them from us. Who knows what's going on up there? Krishna knows. Prabhupada knows. But that is our goal. We have a very desirable goal. We're desireless. We should be desireless materially, but we should have spiritual goals. We want to go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada came to take us back home, back to Godhead. But we can't go with all our material contaminations. So, while performing service, sevan mukhe hijivado, by performing service, Krishna will be pleased to show himself to us. But at the same time, we have to work on the process. Krishna gave us this process. How we can attain to that platform, Krishna Prem. Atanta durlabha prema karibare dan shikai sharanagati bhakate raparan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his associates came to give that very rare gift of highest love for Krishna. And how does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give it? By teaching the process of sharanagati, how to take shelter of Krishna, accepting everything favorable for Krishna's service, giving up all things unfavorable, which means all the dirty things in the heart. And again, how to get free from the dirty things in the heart? Apply ourselves to the process. Nashta prayesh vabhadreshu nityam bhagavata seva, by regularly hearing and chanting about Krishna, then bhagavati tamasloki bhakti bhavati naishtiki. The dirty things in the heart are cleared and we can come to the level of fixed devotional service. The whole process is given in Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, the following the process, but with feelings, desires, samutkanta, a very strong anxiety to, when will I attain Krishna? In this way, we can make advancement. And always remember, we're very, very small. It's very good to hear about Dhruv Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to give the highest prem, love of Krishna. He liked to hear Srimad Bhagavatam recited by Gadadha Pandit, who is Radha. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu particularly liked to hear from Gadadha the narrations of Dhruva and Prahlad. So let us do also. And be blessed by all these great devotees who have kindly appeared in the pages of Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada wrote that about Narad Muni, that he has kindly appeared within the pages of Bhagavatam. So by studying the Shastra, we get in contact. Srila Prabhupada introduces us to all the great personalities, all the way up to Krishna. And remember how small we are, how great they are, and how kindly they are engaging us in their service by allowing us to take these books and give them to others, and on behalf of Srila Prabhupada introduce others to this transcendental wonderland, the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Shall I bother asking for questions? Didn't get a reply. Well, I guess I won't. You want to say anything, Mukunda Tapavit Prabhu? Can't say anything. All right. Anything? Don't want to say anything? Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa taru bhyascha kripa sindhu bhyavacha patitanam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namaha.